The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there.
To follow 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app, download it now.
Just like the wild wing dove sings a song, sounds like she's singing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Just like the wild wing dove sings a song, sounds like she's singing. Ooh, baby, ooh, say ooh.
Kaylee Company, as we welcome you back in, straight up 9 o'clock on the dot, fourth and final hour here on a Friday. Appreciate Donald Trump's time. Hopefully all of you enjoyed that. We could have went for, if it was up to me, another 35, 40 minutes easily. We could have gotten into all sorts of issues, but the man is pressed for time. Our buddy Sean Farish is coming up in just a moment. But Dawn had a great question when it comes to Title IX. And Jessica is in Abington. Let me squeeze Jessica in here. She's got some thoughts on Title IX. Jessica, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What do you have?
Well, I just wanted to say that with the Title IX, you know, all these men that want to get in the girls' locker rooms, it's ironic that none of the girls want to get in the boys' locker rooms, right?
Like, yep. Yep, we've talked about that so many times, Jessica. It seems like every time we talk about these transitions, or transitions for sure, that involve sports, it almost is never girls transitioning to become guys and then going into guy sports. It's always the other way around. It seems like 99 out of 100 times that we talk about this.
It's crazy. The world has gone mad. I'm telling you.
Yeah, as Trump said, it's the world's going cuckoo. Cuckoo.
It is.
Thank you very much, Jessica. All right, we've got our buddy on the line, and we will talk to Sean Farish in a moment. But first, we will speak to the 45th and hopefully 47th president of the United States. He's back again. I thought he was going into court, and now he's back with us for round two on Kale and Company. Mr. President, good to have you back on the show again.
Well, you know, we came back because the interview was just so tremendous. We saw the ratings go through the roof immediately. I said, I got to do it. We got to do it. We got to come back. And, you know, we're very excited to be here as always. And I don't know that guy before. You know, you see that guy. I don't know if that was actually me. It might have been that Dallas Store Bradley Cooper guy. But, you know, he sounded good, though. I got to say, he sounded tremendous. I could say that. And we're very excited to come to New Jersey. You don't say that often. We're excited to come to Jersey.
That's true.
But we're coming and we're going to have a fantastic time. That much I can tell you. And we're back. We're ready to rock and roll. And we don't have, I just got news, we don't have the gag order. We could go there. I could tell you that too. Nice.
Okay, so let's take the gag out of your mouth here and let's talk about what's going on in New York. Stormy Daniels' testimony this week, absolute joke in my opinion, zero credibility, only a matter of time until this results in a not guilty verdict in your favor, in my opinion. Your thoughts on what's transpiring as you get ready to head into court in 27 minutes?
Well, I think the Stormy Daniels stuff was, you know, and I call her a horse face, by the way. She looks like a horse. I think it's disgusting what's happening in New York. You have the fat slob. His name is Fat Alvin Bragg. He's got the thunder thighs. It's how he keeps warm in the cold courtroom. He's a terrible person. The only case he's familiar with bringing is a case of Twinkies. That's all he does. And he continues to eat and eat and eat. And it's incredible. He's probably going to vote for me because the cost of food is insane, you know that? So he wants food to be cheaper. Obviously, look at him. He's going to probably vote for me, too. He just doesn't want to admit it. But the Stormy case is disgusting. Her testimony was disgusting. And that's why I call her Horseface. She's actually getting ready to run in the Preakness. She's getting ready for the Triple Crown.
That's not right.
You know, and then the Belmont Stakes in Saratoga. The Belmont is going to Saratoga, where George Santos fought very well in the Civil War. Saratoga,
yeah.
With George Washington, too, the other George, the real George. But you look at what's happening with everything in New York. It's a complete and total disgrace. The judge ought to be ashamed. Alvin Bragg ought to be ashamed. Stormy ought to be ashamed. I call a horse face for a reason. Wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Nicole. I know what that looks like. And you see what happens. Okay, you see what happens. It's a disgrace, but we're going to win.
Donald Trump joining us here on Kale and Company for round two. Forget cut sheet part two. We got Trump part two here going on this morning. Let's go from Judge Juan Merchan and the scam that he's running in New York to a more reputable justice in Florida, Eileen Cannon, suspending your Florida classified documents, a documents case. It sure seems like another victory, in my opinion, for you in this case with the delay, which means I think this case certainly never gets finished before November, and we'll see if it even takes off. Your thoughts on what's going on with the Mar-a-Lago case?
Well, you know, I appointed Judge Eileen Cannon because I only picked the greatest people. And she's a fair person. She's a tremendous person. And she's treating the case the way it should be treated everywhere. You know, she's being, it's called fair. It's called honest. It's called objective. And she's being fair and honest and objective. And you see what happens when the things are fair. We win. When the things aren't fair and it's rigged, it's a hard time. So you see what's going on. And you see Judge Cannon. She made a fantastic decision. It was all a setup. It was all a hoax. They brought props. They put these things on the floor. They sent me the documents. Then they found the documents that they said they ought to be ashamed. And Jack Smith ought to be ashamed. And he should also be ashamed of what he looks like. It looks like his face threw up with the facial hair. It's terrible. You see the beard. He hasn't combed it. He hasn't shaved it. He hasn't probably even shampooed it. I heard it smells horrible. I heard it smells worse than Lizzo after White Castle. And speaking of Lizzo, you know, you have her. You have Alvin Bragg. I said this before, Fat Alvin. You have Rosie O'Donnell, Joy Behar, Chris Christie, the beast of the Southeast, they call her. That's Stacey Abrams. You know that? We have all of these people who are tired of how much it costs to eat, so they're not going to vote any different. They're hoping that Eileen Cannon dismisses the case, and she's probably going to dismiss it because it is a load of, as Crooked Joe would say, malarkey. It's absolutely nonsense, believe me.
Mr. I'm sorry. It's so good.
Jack Smith does.
Is everybody going to be okay? Are we going to make it? Do we need help?
Sorry.
Do we need to do CPR? I do CPR very well. We could do that. I'm not giving you mouth to mouth. I can tell you that. It's never going to happen.
Let's stay in the Southeast and go to another beast. We call her Fonny. Some call her Fanny. The disqualification appeal is going to be heard. Another big legal victory for you. Another tainted prosecutor who's really shot herself in the foot credibility-wise. Your thoughts on what's going on with Fulton County right now?
Well, she is a terrible person. You know that she shot herself in the foot like Plaxico Burress. You're not supposed to do that, and she did it. And now she's seeing the consequences of her actions. You know, she's terrible. And I used to call her, and I still call her, so they call her Fawny. I call her Fanny sometimes, or I call her somebody else, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champion, because nobody knows her way. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, boy.
To Coney Island. That's what I'm saying. Coney Island, New York. Let's get our minds out of the gutters now when we talk about this, because Nathan's no longer on the case.
Right.
But you see what's happening. You see all of these tremendous things that are going on. You know, we could remove her. We could disqualify her. And, you know, she's a really horrible person and a stupid person, too. She's a stupid person. And this country's being run by stupid people. And we have to put smart people back. We're looking for the smart people, and we have to put them back. And we're going to put them back. The smartest person in the history of the world is running for president. And it's not Crooked Joe. And it's not RFK. It's Donald J. Trump. And smartness and smart people are going to take back our country, believe me.
Speaking of smartness, congrats on your boy, Barron, getting involved in politics as he's senior, getting ready to go to college. Any presidential aspirations for Barron, perhaps in, I don't know, 2044?
Well, we'll see what happens, but he's certainly tall enough to be president. You know, the sanctimonious isn't tall enough to be vice president, and Barron is almost too tall to be president. He's a tall kid. He's a big guy. He's a very big guy. And he gives me the advice. You know, I listen to him before I listen to any of the D.C. consultants. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. Barron says do something. All of a sudden, we get a jump in the pulse. He's a very smart guy. And We feed him well. I can tell you that. We feed him well. No plant-based meats for Baron. He doesn't want to deal with that.
None.
And so he does a tremendous job. He could probably dunk on Michael Jordan. He's a tall person. and he's a handsome guy. He looks a lot like me. And he's smart. He gets that from me, too. So I can say that comes from my son. And Melania's very smart, too. But I'm the smartest person. So it comes from me mostly. But you see what's happening with Baron? He's going to be a delegate at the RNC. Yeah. He's going to do a tremendous job. And we think maybe future president. We'll see what happens.
All right, Mr. President, I know you got to be in court in 20 minutes. Final one for you. Joe Biden with this, I believe, a totally blatant slap in the face to Israel with the, you know, potentially, you know, not providing the weapons and letting them defend themselves or, you know, equipping them to do everything they can. Because if they wanted to, they could completely eradicate Hamas from the face of the earth. I think this is going to come back to bite him in the you-know-what this fall at the ballots. Your thoughts on how poorly he has mismanaged the Middle East crisis?
Well, he's siding with terrorists. You know, he's siding with people who are doing horrible things, but they like people who do that. You know, Hamas cuts things off of people. They cut hands, they cut limbs, they cut other body parts like, you know, a doctor you'd see at a hospital with a child. It's terrible what's happening with the transgender, so they like the Hamas people. And they're covering for them now, and he's covering for them. Nobody has been as pro-Israel as I have. I was a great president. I was Israel's greatest friend, and they were our greatest allies, too, and they were tremendous people. And we moved the embassy to Jerusalem. We did very well. Jared Kushner did very well with that, and he's a tremendous person, too. I get along very well with these people. And you have Crooked Joe now handing the country over to terrorists. They're taking a knee like the college universities took a knee. And it's terrible to see it. It really is terrible because we're not supposed to negotiate with these people. What we did when I was your president, we went to al-Baghdadi. We chased him down. He died like a dog, and it was incredible. We took him out. He was crying. He was screaming. We took him out. Soleimani, we took him out. We had Kim Jong-un. We said, we're going to take you out. You believe that? We're going to take you. Little Rocket Man, I've got a huge button. It's the biggest in the world. It works very well. And we don't want to use it, but we're going to use it. He said, okay, we're not doing rockets. We shook hands. We did a lot. President Xi of China, we did a lot. Winnie the Pooh, he's a tremendous guy, but I call him Winnie the Pooh because that's banned in China. Putin is a tremendous person. You know, he's not our friend, but we did very well with him. Crooked Joe goes to Vladimir Putin. He poops. He does tootin' with poopin' with Putin. It's terrible. But you see what happens over here. He did that. And he did that at the Vatican, too. Tootsie Rolls with Vladimir Putin. I call him King Toot. They had King Tut. I call him King Toot. It's terrible. But we did very well when I was your president with everybody. And we're going to do well for Israel, too. Sleepy Joe ought to be ashamed.
Sean Farish is just unbelievable. Way to go, buddy. Great stuff, as always, as he comes on to talk about all the things that matter in the world of news and politics in our upside-down world we are living in. Sean, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. Let me start with this. This morning, I did my opening monologue on what Hillary Clinton was doing on MSNBC again. You know, Donald Trump, threat to democracy. Donald Trump is Hitler. This will be the last election. He'll never leave office. Hey, do you think we're at the point now where people across the political spectrum that tune in and hear Hillary Clinton regurgitating the same stuff from 16 and 20, do you think people are tuning her out, or do people still buy into her nonsense and take the bait with the fear?
I think enough people are tuning her out. I think she's a has-been. She's a still want to be, right? She's like just dying for relevance. I have to say, Hillary Clinton really helped a lot of us out. You know, she gave us a term that we could all rally around, deplorables. I happened to use it on TikTok when my videos first started going viral. It was Captain Deplorable, right? So thank you, Hillary, for that, because I never would have chose that. But, you know, it's funny when she talks, the things she says, and she still denies the 2016 election. Nobody cares about, you know, calling her an election denier, because if you do that, you may wind up, you know, hanging from a tree with a gunshot wound. So got to be careful with Hillary Clinton. But I don't think anybody cares what she has to say. She just, you know, has the quote unquote platform to say it. You know, people have her on. Oh, it's Hillary Clinton, you know, but she's a loser, though. I don't understand how anybody could like her at all. She's, I think, detestable. She's a loser. She hasn't won anything.
Yep.
And so people keep having her on. So it's, I don't know. I think her voice is much less relevant and holds a lot less water than it used to, though, for sure.
Boy, I sure hope so. One person who has been making their voice heard for, I think, a lot of the wrong reasons lately is the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. We played this earlier this week on our Cut Sheet segment where she made these absurd comments today, a few days ago, saying that the black youth of today would not know what a computer is. It seems obviously racist to make that statement. If Trump makes that statement, if Ron DeSantis makes that statement, if anybody in the GOP makes that statement, they're getting vilified on the mainstream media. Are you buying Trump's polling numbers with black voters being as good as they have ever been, or do you kind of take that with a grain of salt?
Well, all right. So here's something that's been going on for a while with like the Republican electorate. We hear it every election cycle, right? First, it was Pennsylvania. McCain is going to win Pennsylvania. Romney's going to win Pennsylvania, right? And then it was like Trump's going to be like, no, we're probably not winning Pennsylvania. And then we did in 2016 win Pennsylvania. So there is a shift. There's no doubt that there's a shift. We hear the same things a lot of conservative outlets will point to. You know, the Democrats are losing the black vote. Republicans are making progress with the black vote, even though Republicans have little to zero, like literally no outreach into black community, which I don't understand. I don't get it. You know, it's like they play into the identity politics thing where it's like, well, that's just a lost cause. It's not a lost cause. Those are people worth fighting for and honestly are being taken advantage of and lied to. You want to fix that, right?
Yep.
So, you know, I think what's crazy now is you can see statistics and numbers coming from the Brookings Institute, right? Some of these left-wing polls, right? NPR polls, CBS polls, Harvard polls, the Brookings Institute, the Pew Research Center, all of these places where this information comes from, it's commissioned by left-wing money. And it's also showing that black voters and minority voters are leaving the Democrat Party. So there's something where I look at that and go, all right, well, I've heard this from the right for a long time, right? I've heard it from my side. Now the enemy is saying, whoa, we have a problem. So, you know, if I'm looking at that, I'm saying, all right, there's actually something to it. Is it as drastic as it says? Maybe. Even if it's in the middle of what it was and what these numbers are saying, it's an electoral bloodbath, have to use the word, because of how much that means the Biden camp, the Democrats lose, mm-hmm. and Trump Republicans win. It's a plus two. It's not just expanding the party, but it's taking from the enemy. It's stealing their market share, their vote share.
Yep.
And I think it is happening. I really do.
Last one for you, Sean Farish, joining us as he does each week here on Kale and Company. Sean, I have never seen a political figure light their career on fire and have it go up in smoke quicker than what we have seen with Kristi Noem in the last 7 to 10 days. Is there any coming back from this for her?
Well, she's the South Dakota governor. So it's a state that, you know, you can easily hide in, I would say. And that's no offense to South Dakota, right?
But unless you're like a goat or a dog.
But I can tell you this, right? So you have South Dakota and North Dakota. There's no reason to have two states. Just combine.
True. Just consolidate.
Yes, I'm going to get in so much trouble. There's going to be somebody who like follows me from one of the Dakotas and is like, I hate you now. And it's a joke. It's okay. You know, actually, I would love to go to Mount Rushmore. I would love to put another face up there. Let me say that too. I watch this and I go, my goodness. You know, you can criticize DeSantis's decision to run now versus waiting and say, oh, it's a terrible, but he's back in Florida and he's running the thing well. You know, the protests were put down very quickly. I love the fact that he signed a law that says you can hit protesters if they're blocking the road with your vehicle. I think that's amazing. Go Florida, man, right? You know, you can say that he made some ill-advised decisions or pretty bad decisions. One could make the case, but it's not as bad as Kristi Noem, who was high on the VP shortlist for a lot of people. And then they're like, oh, she kills dogs. No. And it's not just that she killed this one dog on the ranch and it was 14 months old. She then came out and said she hated it. She then after that came out and that's just the way it is. It's the way to do the hard thing. And she felt comfortable telling people, like,
yeah,
your judgment at that point is just like, no. Have you seen the movie Independence Day where like the fire rushes into the tunnel, right? And the dog is running and every human being in the scene is dying.
Yeah.
And you're like, please, dog, live, get into the, and she shuts the door and the dog lives and everybody's happy. Like millions of people in that scene just got burned. Yeah. Like you were rooting for the dog. She doesn't understand that. Like, but people are okay with abortion and not okay with the puppy. Yeah. So it's, this is where we are. Have better judgment is what I'm saying. And if your judgment is that bad, you should probably stay in South Dakota. Do what you do there. You did well during COVID. And that's about it for Christy Nome. That's what I would do.
By the way, that dog in Independence Day was actually Buddy Boy, Dawn's dog.
Oh,
yeah,
Buddy Boy.
Yeah, 28 years ago. That's how old Buddy is now.
Christy Nome killed not only the dog Cricket, she killed the goat.
Yeah.
And a horse.
Right? And a horse, too.
What the heck?
She wiped out a whole zoo.
Listen, you're on a ranch. I get it. These things happen.
Absolutely.
But, like, how about don't brag about it or, like, use it as, like, some sort of – just be like, hey, I was the governor of South Dakota, and I didn't lock down during COVID. Don't tell me about the animals that you killed.
Done. Yes.
Even Michael Vick was appalled by her comments. It's unbelievable.
And it's like, Mike Vick, like, my goodness. He's you know? Talk about a guy. So –
great stuff as always,
Sean,
buddy.
Thank
you so much. We love you, Sean.
We love you, man.
Thanks, guys.
There he is. Sean Farish is joining us as he does each and every week here on Kale and Company.
Only on this show will you hear former President Trump and then faux President Trump.
Yeah, we've gone
back to back.
From cut sheet to Trump to the faux Trump.
Yeah.
I need a nap.
I know.
855-839-1210. I'm going to go to the bathroom as well.
Wash your hands.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help but lose my mind when I was I thought I was going to have Dawn. You was going to have to finish it up for me.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Let me grab Jerry in New Jersey. Hopefully, we have Jerry back this time. Jerry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you all doing?
We are well.
So, I have a different take on a 2024 election. So, I don't think anymore that has anything to do with the issues of the inflation or the open border, because those issues are already baked in against Biden, period. But I think the only issue remaining is not even the swing states. This real specific issue is like not the swing states of Georgia, PA, and Michigan. It's actually the swing cities, I would call them, or the deciding cities inside there, and it's election security is the issue in Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Detroit. I think Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Detroit security is ultimately going to decide who the president is. What do you guys think of that?
I'm totally with you as far as election integrity. I want as much security as possible. I would also throw in Phoenix, a swing city inside the state of Arizona, which is a swing state. I would also lump in Milwaukee, Wisconsin as well. Wisconsin, another swing state. And when you talk about some of these cities, this is not hyperbole. This is not playing up to one of our home bases, so to speak. I mean, this election could very well come down to Bucks County. Like, I mean, think about that. That's the wild part where we are at right now, for sure. And we gave you that Fulton County video. I think I was in the Big Take either yesterday or 2 days ago, where you had 3,000 ballots that were double scanned. You had 380,000 that were missing images. And now you've got voter integrity laws that are being put in place. Brian Kemp, governor from Georgia, just passing SB 189. And then also you're going to have other states that are going to follow through with this as well. So to me, it's a very simple thing. Yet here we are in 2024 in the most advanced country in the world. And we have to be concerned about that stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jerry brings up swing cities, which is an interesting premise.
Yep.
I think that even, you remember last time around, Hillary Clinton here in Philadelphia, they had to actually bring in suburbanites. They were not city people for her rallies, and even Springsteen couldn't lure, you know, city. So in other words, if people in cities like Philadelphia, like Atlanta, like Chicago across the country, if they're saying, what have you done lately for me, Joe Biden?
Mm-hmm.
And they just stay home, that as well could call the election for Trump.
Yep.
Because the Democrat machine can't get out the big cities and the big populations.
Yep, no question. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, it is 9:23.
Hang on.
Oh, it's not in the hopper.
There we go.
It's in the hopper now.
Load her up.
Yeah, we got it.
It's officially in the hopper. Let's get to the Morning Mystery movie clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
About the work, most immediately. There's going to be some things that you're going to be able to get that other people in the office don't get. One of them, gym membership.
You want me to lose weight?
No, I don't want you to lose weight.
No, we can't legally ask you to do that.
We didn't say lose weight. I might say tighten.
Tight.
A little tighter.
Just like toned and smaller.
Don't make everything smaller. I don't want to generalize that way. Tighter.
We don't want you to lose weight. We just want you to be healthy. You know, by
so
eating
great.
Less.
So great.
Think you know what it is? Such a great call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Final day of Live Nation Concert Week, where we will give you the choice of a pair of tickets to one of four shows. And those shows include Dierks Bentley, August 17th at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion in Camden. Tim McGraw, June 20th at the Wells Fargo Center. Chicago on July 31st at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Or the Doobie Brothers on August 3rd at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Your choice, if you can identify that clip. Caller 12, 855-839-1210 is the phone number. Concert Week is here. $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows on sale now through May 14th. Up to 75% off concert and comedy tickets. Get tickets to see all of your favorite artists live at LiveNation.com. Good luck. We're back after this and after this word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. Was just out at the Acura dealership just about 4 weeks ago in Westchester. I was an Acura owner for 10 years. I had a small little fuel-efficient ILX, but I drove their road and track performance car of the year, the Integra. My God, what a vehicle. And the thing I like most about Acura is maybe you can't afford the Mercedes. Maybe you can't do a Range Rover, a BMW, a Volvo, an Audi, whatever it might be. But you want luxury. You want style. That's where Acura really comes into play. And I had one for a decade, but the Integra is a total step up from my old ILX. By far the most striking model I have seen. And it's well-equipped with advanced safety and technology features that include wireless Apple CarPlay, but also the high-performance adaptive damper system. It's something that only Acura has, and you're going to want to check that out if you're looking for a smooth and secure ride. Wi-Fi hotspot capability and a 16 speaker premium audio system. So you can turn up 1210 when you get to that red light and blast Kale and Company and trigger people on the sidewalk. Yeah. Visit PiazzaAcura.com or test drive the new Integra at Piazza Acura in Westchester, Ardmore, or Reading. Don't forget, tell them Nick sent you.
Hey, Mount Laurel. We know your favorite station is WPHT. Tell your smart speaker to play 1210 WPHT.
Mustard.
The city streets are empty now.
9:33, Friday morning. It is Kale and Company, the 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. The secret to spoiling the moms in your life this spring, Mother's Day, 2 days away. Now with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online, josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. Much better than putting flowers in a box and sending them out in the mail. That's josephanthony.com. All right, I believe we have our morning mystery movie clip winner on the line. Barbara is in Williamstown, New Jersey. Barb, good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing?
We are doing well. What was the clip that we played for you?
That movie is Knocked Up.
Yeah.
That is
Barbara.
Correct. Congratulations, Barbara. And which tickets did you like to go to see?
Tim McGraw.
Okay.
Tim McGraw.
All right. I like that. Nice balance this week, Barbara. Great work. We appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Barbara in New Jersey. Going to go see Mr. McGraw at the Wells Fargo Center. Great prizes all week long. Well, what a week. What a week. We had Trump.
I'm
we had
exhausted.
Faux Trump. We had great prizes. Great takes. Big takes. Hot takes. Bad takes.
Tony Bruno has been kicked off X.
Again?
Is that official?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What did you do?
He was in the chat earlier.
You know what? Block him from the chat, too.
No.
I want him out.
Naughty Tony.
Tony, oh, Tony, boy. Tony. What are you doing, sir? Where's my Bruno drops on here?
Let's see if I can find one.
Just give me the damn 5-day forecast and try to be accurate. That's all I want.
When you get shut down on X, I don't know. Pretty hard to do. But he finds a way. He's gonna, you know what he's going to do? He's going to commandeer Robin's Twitter feed.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
He's going to just start tweeting and signing everything TB so you know it's him. All right, I guess that's our lead with Bruno next Wednesday.
Yeah, by the way, the if you missed the interview with Donald Trump with Kale and Company, Dawn and Nick did a fantastic job. It is up on podcast. We'll put the video up as well. So if you missed it, it's there. By the way, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, the Kale and Company podcast, please do so.
Yeah.
Please subscribe to it, whether it's on Apple, please. Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get podcasts from, just subscribe to the... It may not seem like a lot to you, but boy, it's a lot to us.
Yes.
So, you know, it costs you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's free.
Yep.
Just hit the subscribe button on the podcast feed. Also hit the subscribe button on the YouTube page. Again, costs you nothing,
yep.
But it helps us tremendously.
Yes, and for those of you that don't listen every single day for all 4 hours a day, shame on you. I mean, get your priorities in order. But no, in all seriousness, you can get us in a multitude of ways. The Odyssey app, YouTube, you can go back and watch the show on YouTube, rewind us on the app, pick and choose a chapter, a segment. Of course, what you just mentioned there with Apple, with Spotify, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, 1210WPHT.com. You can get it there. You can get all the clips on social, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. If you're not getting us, you're not trying.
You're not trying.
So
please.
There you go. All right, 9:36.
I don't beg much. I do, actually.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't pander too much for the old school podcast downloads. You're more of like a modern day panderer.
Well, it's important because like big interviews like this, it's easy to find it if you're subscribed to it. And again, it costs you nothing.
Yep.
Just hit the subscribe button.
That's correct. All right, 9:36. Let's get to round two of What's on the Cut Sheet, part.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
Part two. So CNN ran a preview this morning of a new episode of a documentary or something that they're running on transgender athletes. But they're fighting for the right to play sports on a team that align with their gender identity.
Right, whatever you choose to be.
In case you missed the interview earlier with Donald Trump, he said, Dawn, paraphrase for me, day one, he would get rid of what?
Said day one, executive order, he will reverse Biden's Biden's new Title IX.
Yep.
Yeah, good. Because Biden reversed 94 things under the first 100 days that Trump did.
I reverse this.
Mm-hmm.
Cut 21, Phil, go.
In schools across the country, transgender athletes are fighting for the right to play sports on a team that aligns with their gender identity. Opponents are arguing it's completely unfair and it's putting families at odds.
Odds.
When I see these old pictures, like in some of the younger ones, you know, I'm just a child. They're, you know, when you're below the age of five, you're just living life to the fullest.
Right.
But like five on, I think I start to see like my trapped self.
Oh, jeez.
If I could turn back the clock, I wish I could have done some things differently.
I
remember in my Bible study, I said, I need prayers. My oldest came out as transgender.
This is CNN, by the way.
And I just don't know what to do. And
sorry.
Just didn't sit well with me.
It's like a lifetime.
I feel like God made you, you for you. Like, and we're not supposed to change any parts of ourselves. We're made like that. That's just in my mind what I've always known. And I probably said some mean, hurtful things just because I'm scared. It's a fear. I failed my kid. I didn't do enough. Why didn't I see this? Why didn't I do more? I lost a little boy that, like, I accepted a little boy who wasn't macho boy, you know? And I remember laying in bed and saying, Melissa, you didn't lose a kid. You have a kid right in front of you. You have a choice. It may not be what you want it to be, but you have a choice. And I had to choose.
More of these deep, complicated, heartfelt conversations. A new episode of The Whole Story with Anderson Cooper airs Sunday at 8 p.m.
There
right here on CNN.
Boy, that must be riveting television with Anderson Cooper leading the way on that one. Good Lord. You know, I'm consistent with it. You do you, live your life. I'm just opposed to the gender surgeries for minors. You're 18, you're an adult, you think you're in the wrong body or whatever you claim. I don't get it. I think it's more of a mental illness than anything. But if you want to do that as an adult, knock yourself out. Based on those details, I don't know when that individual went through the change or the procedure, but it seems like from what we gather there that this individual at 5 years old apparently was of the belief that something went wrong in the factory.
Or, I mean, I will just say this, that what a lot of experts say is, as far as this issue of trans, is let puberty happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are many in the LGB community who say these kids might be gay.
Oh.
So they feel that it's an anti-gay movement. So that's another complicating factor to all of this. Sorry to add that at 9:41.
Yeah.
But there's a fight within the fight. Sorry, I had to.
No, that's
no, what I mean. Don't.
So let puberty happen.
Yes.
Could we all just agree? And give people, by the way, any counseling they need? Because you hear these parents crying, you know, and now we hear that the schools at age five, that was the Rhode Island mom that you played earlier,
yep,
are telling kids at age 4 and 5 in pre-K, hey, you've got a choice between being a... Where do you think these kids heard that language? They heard it in school.
Of
this
course.
Has been going on for a long time.
I would actually, to help with Anderson Cooper, what I would actually like to see is a series or a documentary or a face-to-face interview with somebody who's gay or lesbian having a conversation with somebody that identifies as trans, based on the point that you just made, Dawn, about maybe these people are just gay, and have those two people have a conversation where the gay person or the lesbian person is asking the trans individual, do you think you're gay? And they say, well, yes or no. Or I'm assuming the answer is they're going to say that no. They're going to say that they feel like they're in the wrong gender. And I would actually just to try to understand where that person is coming from mentally and what their mindset or belief is, as opposed to just, you know, Anderson Cooper or even the mom. Like, you know, the mom, I mean, she obviously feels like she, you know, she lost her child, but then when she's talking about fear. And this is where this is going to go then. Because then CNN and all the talking heads will be, wow, see, it's a fear, it's a phobia. It's not a fear or a phobia for me. My belief is that there's just something going on inside your head right now where you're struggling to find out what your identity is. And I think a lot of that was just accelerated because of the pandemic.
I want to get to this before the end of the show. You remember Chip Kelly?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that guy. Yeah. Oh, ball coach.
Philadelphia Eagle.
Former Philadelphia Eagle Deshaun Jackson and LeSean McCoy believe the tenure of coach Chip Kelly didn't work because he was uncomfortable around black players.
Disagree. Strong disagree. I was doing sports at the time.
In a recent episode of Jackson and McCoy's podcast, The 2510 Show, the two share their experience playing under Kelly from 2013 to 2015. During this period, Kelly was also in control of personnel decisions and famously let Jackson walk in free agency after reports of him being affiliated with a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how that sounded. I'm just going to play a little bit of this. This is cut 15. Phil, go.
So my thing is, like, when you talk about him being scary, you say that because I felt the same way.
Chip Kelly.
And the correlation I want to give you is more like, remember when they had the thing with the cops was killing all the black people, right?
Yeah.
And one of my best friends is a cop, right? And he was saying a lot of that problem is when you're not used to dealing with a certain type of people or a certain race, right? You only know about them from things you might have heard, things you might have read, right?
Sure.
Things you see from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see him, it's like you hesitant.
Right.
So I remember playing with him. I'm like, yo, I never had a coach, right, that was scared of uncomfortable. I never met a coach that was uncomfortable with dealing with black players because, let's just not hide it, right, most of the players are black. NFL was dominated by black players. So, and there's a lot of white coaches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was weird that you're uncomfortable. There would be times where I would be in the meeting room with Deuce Staley, my running back coach.
Yeah.
And he would say, yo, he would be critiquing me about something I did.
But you could tell it's coming
from him. But I'm thinking, like, this ain't even your words.
Exactly.
So I would say, where you get that at?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this? Because me and him had a great relationship.
Yeah.
Well, Chip wants you to this and that.
Why he don't come to?
So I say, cool. Yeah. So I'm gonna go ask Chip, hey, look, man, in the meeting room, you know, I heard you got a problem with the way I'm doing this and the way I'm doing that, the way I carried the ball.
Right.
You know, my numbers is like every 350 carries, I might have one fumble. So anyway, I'm like, yo, why are you saying that? Oh, you know, I'm just thinking he never would say this, but he would say it. Mm-hmm. So it's crazy when I.
So basically, this is a long-winded explanation of him saying that he didn't want them because of their different cars that they drove. He didn't he wanted them all riding on one bus,
which
sounds reasonable to me.
So Chip Kelly didn't recruit black players at Oregon. Chip Kelly didn't coach black players at Oregon. Chip Kelly had a lot of black players at Oregon. It has nothing to do with being uncomfortable around somebody from a different race. Chip Kelly did not translate to a pro locker room. He had terrible, terrible communication skills. He's not a social person. And when you leave college to coach the pros, what you did with 18 to 22 year olds doesn't resonate with grown men. You can't come in there and try to run it like a college. That's why most college guys fail when they go to the NBA or the NFL, because you're not going to tell a 30-year-old man how to live his life. You can do that with an 18-year-old.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. I will say I love the fact that he had the players at the time, they weren't eating the junk food anymore, and he really put a focus of healthy eating.
Yeah, you remember that?
Remember?
Yeah.
And I actually think that was a good thing that resonates, that they still do today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rob says, remember when McCoy didn't tip on a large check?
Yeah.
I forgot about that story.
Shady cheapskate.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
I dare anybody to get through that 55-minute conversation with those two.
Hey, and by the way, LeSean McCoy's got a show on Fox Sports.
Of course he does.
Unbelievable.
I love that anybody that they don't agree with or that is racist. Yeah. He was uncomfortable around black players. Like, it's just ridiculous.
No, he's just
a ridiculous thing to say.
There were rumors and reports that when he would show up to the facility, he just wouldn't say hello to players. He would just walk by and not say hi. He's just an odd dude.
Yeah. All right. That's what I got for you guys.
All right. Well, that's all I got, too. All right. Coming up next, we will find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show. What exactly went down with Phil last night as he was at the Garden to see Billy Joel's 2,347th performance at MSG. And who won Twitter today? Back after this, Kale and Company.
Free speech lives here with Dawn Stensland weekdays 10 till noon. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
Kale & Company, 9:52, Friday morning, as we put a bow on another week, Mother's Day weekend upon us. And the Dawn Show, 8 minutes out. We find out what she has lined up, top of the hour.
Yeah, so I'll update you on everything, the arrest tally that we're getting from Philadelphia police as far as breaking up that encampment on the Penn campus, all of those updates. We have some great audio of Joe Biden and how he refers to migrants. You want to hear this. But we have at 10:05 Christine Flowers coming up ahead. Talk is her reaction to all of this happening, and as well her recent column Broad and Liberty, where she says, "Welcome to my world, Michael Smirkanish." Obviously, uh-oh, because he was canceled out for his college campus speech for his views. So that'll be an interesting conversation. Okay. In the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Terry Tracy, who's the biggity big there at Broad and Liberty, where they are doing such great work, investigative reports. So we'll get the latest from them. But there's so much. Also, we're going to talk about Bob Casey, and you'll hear the audio of Senator Bob Casey, who's obviously on the Republican side, McCormick running against him. But Bob Casey, did he answer questions by reporters on some key issues and how he may disagree or agree with Biden? So you want to hear this great audio just ahead.
All right, Dawn Show, top of the hour as we get to today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. History. On Kale and Company.
Friday, May 10th. Yes, I am here. And Billy Joel was phenomenal. Birthdays include Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols, Dave Mason from Traffic and all his solo stuff, as well as Bono from U2. One single includes Misunderstanding by Genesis from 1980. Albums include Move Like This by The Cars from 2011, Weezer's debut from 1994, which is the Blue Album, Twisted Sister Stay Hungry from 1984, in Duran Duran's Rio from 1982. Also, Eric Clapton recorded I Shot the Sheriff in 74. Falco became the first Austrian artist to have a number one U.S. and British single with, of course, Rock Me Amadeus in 86. Also, the same day in 86, West End Girls by the Pet Shop Boys was number one. And Tommy Lee married Heather Locklear. Remember that?
Yeah.
But lastly, on this day in 2006, Chris Daughtry got voted off season 5 of American Idol.
Wow.
And finished 4th, very surprisingly, since he was the favorite. Taylor Hicks was the winner. And, oh, by the way, speaking of Taylor Hicks, more than just a few people actually asked me, Phil Almquist, if I was Taylor Hicks. I said no. And by the way, also, American Idol, not relevant anymore.
Yes.
For Kale and Company, I'm Phil Almquist.
Wow. Oh, nice work, Philip.
He does look like that guy.
He does.
That's funny.
I'll tell you what, for a guy that slept for 90 minutes last night, he had a lot of juice.
90
right
minutes.
Yeah.
Wow, good for him.
That's what happens when you go to the Garden every other night.
Yeah.
Short nights.
Who won Twitter?
Austin Been Sober wins Twitter. He says, Nick Dawn, nice interview. We're heading down, he means to Wildwood this afternoon.
Woo.
Got a room as soon as I heard it was happening, anticipating rates going up two nights for $250 at a flea bag motel.
Nice.
That's how we roll.
Bring the Lysol.
By the way, everybody stop into Mulligan's Shore Bar in Wildwood. Dom and Rich will be there from 3 to 7 tomorrow. So make sure you're at Mulligan's tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Everybody have a great Mother's Day weekend. Dawn, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day to Mrs. Stocker as well. And hopefully my flowers don't get smashed in the mail. Everybody have a great weekend. Dawn Show is next, and we will talk to you Monday morning at 6.